Continental announces flight testing with unleaded avgas. Cirrus chooses Garmin Avionics for the Vision Jet. And that pesky volcano is causing trouble again. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, April 1st, 2009. Teledyne Continental Motors reports the first test flight of a certificated aircraft using 94-octane unleaded aviation fuel. The flight was made in collaboration with Hawker Beechcraft using a production G-36 Bonanza. TCM President Rhett Ross says of the flight, quote, "This is an accomplishment that adds to TCM's catalog of aviation firsts. TCM is committed to leading the industry towards a common 100 low-lead alternative fuel that minimizes cost to aircraft owners," unquote. The flight profile included takeoff, climb, cruise at both low and maximum power, descent, and landing. Data was recorded for post-flight analysis. The flight followed extensive fuel tests in the company's dynamometer test cells. Hawker Beechcraft VP Ed Petkus commented, quote, "This is another big step in our sustainability initiative at Hawker Beechcraft. I'm confident our customers and the entire aviation industry will benefit from our joint efforts," unquote. Cirrus Aircraft has selected Garmin as its avionics provider for production models of the Vision personal jet, now called the SF-50. Within the next few weeks, the current Vision flying prototype will have the Garmin-based Cirrus Perspective System installed. That's similar to what's now available on the SR series piston planes. Cirrus Aircraft President and CEO Brent Wouters commented, quote, "Avionics are the key component of the pilot-aircraft interface. Cirrus and Garmin are both recognized as leaders in their respective fields and share a common vision to bring innovative technologies and continuous product improvement into the GA cockpit," unquote. Previously, the prototype has flown with L3's SmartDeck glass panel. Cirrus says the Vision has now completed more than 200 engine run hours and nearly 140 flight test hours. The program will now be transitioning to development and certification. Textron Incorporated is blaming credit markets, which remain challenging, for additional production cuts at its Cessna aircraft unit. Textron says the already adjusted projection for deliveries of 375 jets in 2009 will be trimmed further. Cessna will not be the only Textron division facing production cuts. Bloomberg reports other industrial units will share the pain. Company spokeswoman Karen Gordon-Quintal promised more details when the company issues its first quarter earnings report on April 29th. Textron has told analysts it expected to finish the quarter yesterday with receivables reduced by at least $800 million, ahead of its own schedule, and to end the period with more than $1 billion in cash. The company expects to complete the sale of its HR Textron unit to Woodward Governor Company tomorrow, bringing in $265 million in after-tax cash. Textron made its first-ever quarterly dividend cut last month to conserve cash. Standard & Poor's cut its debt rating for both the parent company and for the Textron Financial Corporation, which has announced it will now pull out of financing anything but the parent company's own products. Alaska Airlines once again suspended flights in and out of Anchorage Monday morning, following a volcanic eruption at Mount Redoubt that generated a continuous ash cloud. Airline service at Ted Stevens International Airport had only been back at full strength for 24 hours before the latest eruption pinched it again. The last time Mount Redoubt became active in 1989, the eruptions lasted about 4 months. Geologists expect a similar cycle this time. The website for Alaska Air and Horizon Air cautions travelers, quote, "We are reevaluating the schedule every hour to assess whether it's safe to continue flying in and out of Anchorage. Operations will be suspended if we determine that volcanic ash from Mount Redoubt poses a safety risk. If you have unaccompanied minors traveling alone or pets being checked, it's best to call reservations before heading for the airport, as they may not be allowed at this time depending on the status of the flight," unquote. You can find the website at www.alaskaair.com. Up next on ANN, Southwest expects its fleet to be growing again by 2011. Bombardier signs a second customer for the C-Series. And stimulus money comes to O'Hare, but not to its controversial expansion program. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 1st. I'm Paul Plack. Southwest Airlines has tipped its hand on when it expects the economy and its own fleet to grow. The Dallas Morning News reports Southwest's tentative contract with its pilots union commits to reversing the shrinkage of its fleet in 2009 and growing to 541 planes by the end of 2011 and 568 by the end of 2012. Southwest has an all-Boeing 737 fleet. It totaled 537 planes at the end of 2008, and 13 new 737s will be added this year, but 15 older models will be taken out of service for a net drop of 2 planes. In addition to growth, which improves the job outlook for all Southwest pilots, the carrier is agreeing not to code share or allow other airlines to fly its passengers on routes within the continental U.S. The airline has already announced plans to partner with other airlines for service into Mexico and Canada, and the new pilot contract would allow similar deals serving the Caribbean. Code sharing on any longer international routes or on flights serving Hawaii would require approval in advance from the Southwest Airlines Pilots Association. Union President Carl Kowitzki said his members don't like code sharing in any form, but the proposed contract does bring pay raises retroactive to 2007, additional raises if the company performs well, and an increase in the company's contribution to 401k accounts. Kowitzki predicts, quote, "I think our pilots will review the entire contract and make an informed decision. I don't think our board would have sent this to the membership or recommended a yes vote if we thought it was in their worst interest. Overall, it's a pretty good contract." Unquote. Bombardier Aerospace announced on Monday that Lease Corporation International Aviation has signed a firm purchase agreement for 3 CS-100 and 17 CS-300 jetliners, making it the second customer for the upcoming narrowbody airliner. The C-Series is intended to compete with smaller variants of the Boeing 737 and Airbus A320. The first customer to sign a firm order was Lufthansa. Bombardier Commercial Aircraft President Gary Scott commented, quote, "LCI's purchase confirms the flexibility designed into this technologically advanced aircraft family as required by all our customers, but especially leasing companies," unquote. The firm order is worth about $1.4 billion at list prices. The lessor also took options on a further 20 C-Series planes. The aircraft is expected to enter service in 2013. Federal stimulus funds are coming to Chicago O'Hare International Airport, but federal lawmakers are insisting that none of the money will be used to desecrate historic graveyards or bulldoze the quaint village of Bensonville. The stimulus funds will total $12 million. Officials, including Senator Richard Durbin, an Illinois Democrat, announced that more than $5 million will be used to replace runway pavement, another $7 million to widen a taxiway, but not one penny will go toward the controversial O'Hare Modernization Program. Bensonville Village President John Giles, who has seen hundreds of homes in his community boarded up to make room for a new runway which may never be built, commented, quote, "The current O'Hare expansion plan is not the answer and should be re-examined before another cent of taxpayer funds are wasted. We were in Washington, D.C. 6 weeks ago explaining the situation to lawmakers, and it looks like they were listening," unquote. The OMP has been accused by critics of being little more than a $20 billion slush fund for rewarding cronies of Chicago Mayor Richard Daley. OMP opponents favor an alternate plan which would create a third commercial airport south of the metro. Space Shuttle Atlantis started its six-hour trip from NASA's Vehicle Assembly Building to Launch Pad 39A at Kennedy Space Center in Florida at 4 a.m. Eastern Time yesterday. NASA is preparing it for launch on May 12th. Mission STS-125 is a service call to the Hubble Space Telescope. During the 11-day mission, the crew of seven will conduct five spacewalks to install new instruments, repair two inactive ones, and replace components. NASA hopes to extend Hubble's operational lifespan through at least 2014. Scott Altman will command Atlantis. Gregory C. Johnson will be the pilot. Mission specialists will be John Grunsfeld, Mike Massimino, Megan MacArthur, Andrew Feustel, and Michael Good. Still ahead, 'tis the season for first flights. Cubcrafter's new hot rod is a legal LSA. And feeling down, see an air show. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, April 1st. I'm Paul Plack. The advent of spring in the Northern Hemisphere means lots of aircraft restoration and construction projects will be rolling out onto runways for their first flight soon. At James Clements Airport in Bay City, Michigan, 61-year-old Andy Kolak plans a first flight in one of the more ambitious projects. The Bay City Times reports that Kolak, who retired after a career at General Motors, acquired the blueprints from the Smithsonian Institution and has scratch-built a 1930s vintage Waco biplane. The bright red 1,600-pound bird sits in his hangar next to a Starduster he finished 10 years ago. Kolak says of his upcoming test flights, quote, "This is the third one I've built, so you're always apprehensive the first time you line one of these up on the runway and push the throttle forward. It's serious stuff. Even though it's a proven design, you just never know what's going to happen when you get it off the ground," unquote. While many small airports across the country fight off developers, Bay City has been moving to preserve James Clements Airport and make it self-supporting. Revenues from a new 24/7 fuel station, a deal with AT&T to put a cell phone tower on the property, and new seaplane hangars are all part of the plan. Deputy City Manager Stephen Black tells the Times, quote, "They do incredible things out here, and every hangar has an interesting story," unquote. Cubcrafters, which has built its restoration and parts business in Yakima, Washington, into a full-fledged manufacturer of new aircraft, has announced yet another flavor of the iconic Cub tail dragger. While the company's new Super Sport Cub qualifies as an LSA, it boasts power equal to that of the hottest of the original Piper Super Cubs. They were rated at up to 1,500 pounds gross weight with Lycoming O360s. To create the new plane, Cubcrafters started with its Sport Cub S2 and added its own new 340 cubic inch engine, producing up to 180 horsepower for takeoff and climb and a continuous rating of 80 horsepower at altitudes up to 12,000 feet. The result is a rate of climb over 2,100 feet per minute and takeoff distances of less than 100 feet at gross weight. The new air-cooled Cubcrafters CC340 engine is ASTM compliant and features electronic ignition, high compression pistons, and a new lightweight design. The company says it burns just 5 to 6 gallons per hour cruising at 120 miles per hour. Top speed is 138, right at the LSA limit. The airframe is an identical twin of the Carbon Cub developed for the home-built market, and the two aircraft share nearly all airframe components. The base price for the Super Sport Cub is about $163,000. One of the industries which actually does well in a recession is the movies. This economic downturn is proving no exception, as families look for inexpensive activities close to home and escape from the cares of the day. The airshow industry is hoping it will benefit from the same effect in 2009. The International Council of Airshows reports the first few shows of this season are supporting its optimism. The Florida International Show was held March 21st and 22nd in Punta Gorda. Chairman Fred Buckingham says, quote, "The numbers are still coming in, but we think it was the largest attendance in our 29-year history," unquote. He estimates attendance this year at 65,000. That's a substantial increase over the previous record of 55,000. ICAS President John Cudahy says of air shows, quote, "Ticket prices are low, but the entertainment value is high," unquote. He says air shows last year saw 12 to 15% increases in attendance. consistent with what happened during recessions in 1980 through 82 and 90 through 91. ICAST says that between now and mid-November, more than 10 million spectators will attend more than 400 air shows. The only way to get a better entertainment value than attending an air show is attending two. And finally today, a small but impassioned group of professional flight instructors has organized to fight what it calls an elitist attitude among the directors of SAFE, the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. SAFE, which itself was officially incorporated only weeks ago by about 400 members of NAFI, the National Association of Flight Instructors, set out to be a member-centric organization with directors elected directly by members. But 28 charter members of SAFE have already expressed disenchantment with a new group, saying that what they really wanted was the chance to be directors themselves. Stu Duggart, the spokesman for the group, tells ANN, quote, "We didn't quit NAFI and give up the cool magazine just to bow to yet another board of directors. We will settle for nothing short of full control over our programs," unquote. The group is calling itself TBO SAFE, which Duggart says stands for Totally Bummed Out Skeptics Asking for Everything, and plans an organizational meeting in conjunction with EAA Chapter 614's annual fly-in pancake breakfast this Saturday at Pineville Municipal Airport in Louisiana. And if you just fell for this story, you obviously don't have a calendar nearby. If you've been missing out on the fun tradition that is April Fool's Day at AeroNews, wait till you get a look at our website today. And that's the latest from AeroNews. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Bob Poole of the Reason Foundation explains why accepting Senator Rockefeller's turbine aircraft user fee would be a step toward ending bizjet bashing by politicians and the media. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Don't believe everything you read today, and have a clear and unlimited day.